So Kevin will want to back at some point, but we're going to go ahead and get started.
Yeah.
We will go for at least an hour, you know, an hour and a half if we need it. Essentially, what this is, it's basically taking tools and techniques from acting and the theater to try and work on our presentation skills, particularly for those of us who have to give talk, which I think is most of us at this point. And more, this is becoming a skill that is actually very, very important in the job market. And when I started thinking about what to do to address this particular aspect of communication, it occurred to me that PowerPoint is a form of performance. It's not pretending to be something you're not, but it is about commanding an audience's attention. It's about kind of having the spotlight on you, putting you on the spot. And so there's a lot of skills, I think, that we can learn. I brought in Otiliana Rolitson to handle this because I have no expertise in this area. She is a PhD candidate, soon to be done, here at UCSB. I think your thesis is about Ingmar Bergman, who I recently had a call. She's also taught classes, done some acting, done some directing. So I can't think of a better person. I turn it over to you.
Thank you. Well, it's so wonderful to have you here, each one of you. And I'm also so happy. Oh, who are you?
I'm able to see you.
Otiliana, nice to meet you. Also, I'm so glad to be in this particular institute. I'm quite impressed with your work here, and I come from time to time to listen to a talk once in a while. Not that I understand much of it, but I think a few pieces of bits of information drizzle into my mind as well. Hi there. You want to come in?
Okay.
All right. Actually, her name is Deborah, right? Deborah's husband, William Storm, I did a reading with him of Rebecca Goldstein's Properties of Light when there was a conference here a few years ago called the Star Conference, with a sort of collaboration between scientists and drama. And it was quite interesting. And that is how I was introduced to this institution for the first time. And again, as I said, I was very impressed with what is going on here. And also, you're at the cutting edge in the world. So we all thank you for all your findings, right? Although as the popular populace, we only distill, you know, bits and pieces of your finding. However, it is true that what you're finding in theoretical physics is indeed things that are shifting the entire mind of humankind right now, and that is utterly exciting. Therefore, what you do is so important. Therefore, how you present yourself becomes vital and key. More and more opportunities, I'm sure, will come through media and such places, also in greater public forums, to communicate with the world, because again, we are so interested and we need to know what is going on in these cutting edge places of science, right? So how you present yourself then, both to your peers, the people that you work with, your colleagues, as well as to investors, if it's such situation, you're all, you know, very dependent on finances, I know, or whether it is for the media or the greater public, how you come across is absolutely vital. Right. Also, you become a portal. You stand as a portal for any audience, whether it's an expert audience or a more of a, what do we call them, layman, you know, sort of audience, that you become the portal for your information that you are presenting. Right. If this portal is not intact, if this portal is not dynamic, then a lot that you're presenting up here will be lost, no matter how important it is, no matter how brilliant it is. Right? It will be lost partly because we as human beings look upon the physical form, into the eyes of people, we listen to the voice, right? It's fundamental. And if that is again dynamic, we as human beings open up, our mind open up, and we're able to much better take in the information. If this portal, hi there, welcome. If this portal is not dynamic and intact, if it is nervous,
if it is. I'm not going to speak so very loudly today because I feel a little bit let me, I'm going to give you an equation here. Equals x, y, by, so the x up here, and you can understand all of that, I assume.
Right. That's a very nice equation. Whatever, I don't know. Math is not my field of expertise. Anyway, at once, even if this would be absolutely brilliant, right, I'm going to lose the entire audience, except maybe one kind person that might be my mom in the audience, right? Issues like that, how you come, your physical body, pronunciation. Also, I know that you're a very international community, which is great. But that also means that most of the time you will speak with people not of your native language. You may also find yourself in situations where you don't speak. You have to use a second language as well, right? All of a sudden, you have a new set of challenges with articulation, such things, right? In the theater, we deal with this all the time, because if we don't have the voice, if we don't have the articulation, we are lost on stage. And the last thing you want to be is lost on stage, because there is no return. Then you go straight to hell and you're stuck, you know? So many of these things we won't be able to go into today very much because of the limitation of the time. Hi, welcome. However, I would like to just point out little pointers that you then can sort of ponder on yourself, you know, for yourself. If I'm able to come back here, many of these areas, of course, we can continue to work on, and they are very easy to work on, really. All one needs to do is just to show up, do the work, and bam, slam, there you are, you know. Vocalization, even how you look like, right? But can take this really far into details. Can I match the colors of a room and really align? If I know that I'm going to have a presentation after dinner, people might be tired. They may even have had a little bit of wine because it's a big gala or something, and I'm there to present because there's investors there, right? Are there ways for me to think about that I then present myself with a little bit of flair and punch up the energy a little bit, right? If it's in the morning, people are rested, there might be something else that is required, right? So there's many beautiful things like that that one can think about, and it can truly become a sort of an art form, and you can really allow yourself to enjoy it, you know? So at this point, hi there. Oh, this is wonderful. We're getting a nice big group. I would like at this point to just hear from all of you what you feel is the challenge in presentation for yourself, as well as what you see. Are there certain patterns that keep coming up when you listen to the presentation of others? You don't need to name people. But is there certain patterns? Is there times when you know that your presentation isn't really up to where it could be, not because of your context, but because of how you present your material? Or that you can see in another person when it becomes very dynamic and when it is not? Yes.
Because I teach that it's very obvious when you work with students if you're reaching them or not, because if you're not, their eyes will glaze over and they'll start to, you know, sort of doodle. And if you're reaching them and they're involved, they'll be like this.
Right.
So you can tell immediately.
And they are quite honest too in their reactions. Right. They have not become so sophisticated yet, maybe, that they cover it up. Right. Great.
Mm-hmm. I always see, we have a very colorful director here at KITP, and I always use his reaction to gauge how well my energy level is going to talk. If David is sighing, I need to punch up. He's the best real-time gauge how talk is going and I'm getting countered. I do go to a lot of talks here, and I see some very dynamic speakers, and then I see some speakers who have excellent content, but they're They don't talk very loudly. They tend to look at their shoes. They tend not to be aware of the audience at all.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're asked, you know, a question, they're kind of thrown. They want to kind of walk through their presentation, but they're not really connecting. And I think the lack of connection I've witnessed is probably the biggest. What you were saying about the portal being closed or the information getting lost, I think happens in those instances.
Great. Can you relate to that, any of you, what she said here about these presentations when it becomes closed off like that? And if so, if you can give some kind of examples, what you see, what happens, or when you experience that yourself. Yeah, I just get so startled when people start asking me questions, you know, and I have all kinds of strange reactions. You know, any situation like that that you could share.
Last year, I went to a very similar. I'm sorry I walked in late because I brought a student.
Wonderful.
last year, I went to a very similar presentation at Harvard. They also had an actress to teach people how to give lectures. And the actress said that most physicists talk much too fast.
Uh-huh.
And so she had this exercise to have the person toss a tennis ball to somebody sitting in the front row,
mm-hmm.
and then to only start the next sentence when the tennis ball comes back.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how this really slowed people down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this also will happen, of course, when you are in a subject that you care a lot about, that you know very well,
mm-hmm.
Also that you might be very passionate about,
right?
And you want to really transmit that to the audience, that easily would happen that you start to speed up, right? So these are things too that are very easy to work on for you to find a rhythm that is good, that is appropriate with an audience, right? Also, if you're one-on-one with someone and you start to speed up, the person may readily say, oh, okay, slow down, can you repeat that, please?
Mm-hmm.
However, in a big audience, hi there.
Okay.
In a big audience, people...
Yeah, we were just talking about it. I said you were the best thing to how my talks are going
back from that.
You said that when you start to sigh, then it means one need to pick up the energy a little bit.
You're never wrong.
Right.
Gross, by the way.
Wonderful.
It's such
an honor. Thank you. So these aspects are things that are very easy to work on, right? The only thing that is needed is a little bit of space. Right, a little bit of time, and then to just go through the motions a few times. All of a sudden, your organism, your physical organism, is going to settle in with it. You know, vocal exercises, things like that. Womb settles in, and it does this then automatically. It doesn't need 2 years of practice. You know, needs a few exercises and a little bit of awareness.
Can I pick up a question?
Mm-hmm.
I know that there's two things that happen with me. And at first there is the talking too fast. I also tend to get nervous and I'm a little stiffer in the first 5 minutes
mm-hmm.
before I settle in
mm-hmm.
to kind of the rhythm and kind of find the rhythm.
Uh-huh.
If there's a way to smooth out that transition so my first 5 minutes can be as good as the last.
Right. Many things. One is, and I actually, if we have time, want to do a little warm-up exercise with all of you, which you're going to feel so great afterwards. And you don't have to perform, you don't have to go out on a limb, it's just very healthy and nice. And yes, there's many things that we can do. Most of us, do any of you, how many of you do usually get nervous before a talk? Okay, so the majority does, right? It's the same thing with us actors. We may be nervous every time we go on stage for our entire life. Like, we still go back, you know, because it's so worthwhile. One thing is, and I will do this in a little bit, just a little exercise with all of you. But one thing definitely is to prepare, just give yourself a little bit of time. This is just some suggestions, right? For example, one could give oneself a little bit of extra time before you're going to go on, where you're by yourself, even if it is that you just have to go to the bathroom, you lock the door, and you just stand there and you do a little quick sort of breathing exercise meditation, you know. Doesn't matter where it is, but it might in the elevator, you're going down, you know, anything, any place works. Of connecting with your breath is absolutely key. To bring your awareness into the body instead of being up in the mind. Of course, what you're usually going to present is something that is intellectual, something that activates your mind. A little side note is that they have found in medicine that people like us with a very activated mental capacity, or world, if we think a lot, ponder a lot, trying to solve problems, such things, our brain, our mind become overactivated. This even have a physical, many different physical, what do you want to say, sometimes with me, I'm from Sweden, this English thing sometimes, is that it affects the body in many different ways. One, shallow breathing. Two, deficiency in blood. Three, tense muscles. Right? All of these things will affect how you present something. Right? Now there's nothing wrong to think, you know. There's nothing wrong to do the work you do. That's wonderful. But just know that about yourself. Before you're going to do a heavy talk, connect with the physical body, with your breathing, your bloodstream. One thing that one can do, which you also can do when you're up here and you get nervous, you just become centered. You feel the soles of your feet, you feel your thumbs. Soles of the feet and thumb. Bam, ground you straight into the to your physical body on a very low point. That is going to have an effect that your mind calms down. When your mind calms down, of course, your talk is already well prepared. You already know this stuff. Right, hopefully. Your mind then, if you can allow your mind to relax, you have a structure, you have your little notes, you have your chart or your PowerPoint, whatever it is, right? You allow that to happen, your mind to relax, then boom, more of brilliance perks up. Boom, you start to hit these moments in your presentation where you even surprise yourself, maybe. Man, I just hit upon something really good here, you know? Also, it will help you slow down with the rhythm as you spoke. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Other things that may happen when you start to present. You get nervous. Oh, one thing, dry mouth. And it is, especially if it is recorded, especially if it's for TV, but even with a public, right? If the mouth start to get dry, then it starts to make this strange clicky sound. Also that it doesn't sound good to the ear of the audience, whether they are aware of it or not. Certainly on filmed TV, it becomes very evident, or if it's radio or something like that. To make sure, one, that you're well hydrated beforehand. This is actors we learn day one in our first acting class, you know, is to consume water before performances, to always make sure that we are well hydrated. Also, when you get nervous, then a physical reaction is to make it even drier, right? So these are just few things to think about. But more things what can happen when you get up here, you get nervous.
Well, this isn't so much an issue of getting up there and getting nervous, but I mean, the following sort of thing can happen. I mean, it's possible to over-prepare something. And if you do that, I find, at least in my experience, I mean, it sort of interferes with the connection between you and the audience in two different ways. I mean, the first thing that can happen is you are so wedded to what you've prepared that you can't, that you're unable to adapt to your audience's reaction. And so you barrel on despite the fact that they may not want this. The other thing that can happen, and from my perspective, it's quite interesting because I was fascinated the first time this happened to me, but it's not something I recommend, is that you can prepare a lecture so much that you give the entire lecture while thinking about something else entirely. Mm. this is quite true. I mean, particularly if you're doing, you know, sort of fairly routine computation, mm-hmm. you just do them on autopilot. You're just not thinking about what mm-hmm. you're doing, and so that's not so great either.
No, and then you will lose the audience too.
And not even notice.
Right, exactly. Right. I think that too, and you had also mentioned this, the audience relationship, is that when the presentation up here can be embraced as a performance, as it were, is that then naturally you will open up to the audience. Then one can practice, and I would like to have before we end at least one guinea pig up here. So we'll just observe you and dissect you, you know, your work, right? But to give yourself opportunities where you safely can, this might be when you teach, if you teach, right? Where you already have a certain power dynamic where you can give yourself a little bit of experiment, you can experiment a little bit, you know, it might be some other situation, you know. Or if I would come back, then certainly we will do this together. But where you would structure a talk so that you really speak to the audience, right? So that you practice your talk looking into people's eyes, you know? You're up here doing your thing, but then regularly throughout the whole talk, I listened to a wonderful talk the other day with this gentleman who, what's his name, what day was this? Tuesday at noon, mid 12:30? He was wonderful, very dynamic. However, he had a few problems, bless his heart, is that he stood here most of the time. Okay. If you notice, these people here just got to see his butt, right? and the back of his head. Now he was sort of powerful and dynamic, so his energy reaches back there. If your energy is not that dynamic and powerful yet, these people are lost. They are taking their lunch nap. Right? To just break it up, to make this stage and setting beautiful, right? He could have easily been here, then, and he was so personable, right? To come over here, talk to people. Oh, you have a question. Okay, so tell me, right, did you hear that? Oh, isn't that interesting? Well, I don't know, is there anyone else who has something that they want to comment on that? Oh, wonderful, so what do you say? Oh, you mean, okay, great. Okay, now I will continue over here. You see, all of a sudden, in like 1 minute, you have swooped the entire audience and said to them, non-verbally, I care about you, I'm so glad you're here, it's so great that you're listening to this that I have to present, which I love so much, and so happy to share with you, right? Then all of a sudden, the audience are like, man, I'm important. I need to be here, otherwise this couldn't be, you know.
He might notice I'm sleeping. Yeah. There's a technical problem here, is that the stream isn't, so if he's walking back and forth, he's walking right in front of his own presentation.
Exactly, so therefore it wouldn't be a good idea for you to run forth and back like you were in some kind of marathon or something, right? But you could do very easily well-chosen moments that happens. Right. Now we have seen the screen for a while. We're still talking about this image up here. You're not going to be upset that I passed in front of it because you've already seen it. Or I'm changing now. So here, by the way, we have now this. You see? Still it's not disturbed.
Well, I just assume that he put himself into mode in the beginning. I'm going to stay over here as to be out of the way of the screen.
Right, of course it is.
Most people were sitting over here, and there were only a few over there. Uh-huh. And so he went over there, and says, I'll be out of the way, by the way. Right. And he stayed there. This is what
right.
I guess.
Right. All of these reasons why we choose to do, especially subconsciously, certain things up here, there's always a reason for it. Doesn't mean it's the strongest choice. That wasn't the strongest choice. It's logical why he would do that. Was he aware of other things, how that affects his presentation, then he probably wouldn't have done it. But he's not aware of it, so of course he does it like that, because it makes sense.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yes?
I know you're not here to comment on the visual presentation itself, but I find this often a problem. In what you just, the example you just gave, you imagine that the person would have the picture of them for sufficient time for everyone to absorb it and to loop around during it. One problem with talks is that very often people don't give the audience enough time to absorb the viewgraph. It's still like trying to look for what's on the axis when the next one comes on.
Right. Wonderful point that ties directly in too with the rhythm of speaking, right? That you always can afford to slow down. I can't foresee anyone here would slow down so much that it would become slow motion, you know? That you can always give more room for that. Again, too, because we're contemplating beings, it's that once in a while a dramatic pause is excellent. Right? So that we just have a moment to just digest and, okay, now I am ready with this. Okay, I'm ready to move on to the next. You know, sometimes we may, especially if we are new presenters, new to this, we might feel like, oh my goodness, I need to jam through this whole thing and just show everything, how smart I am, how well I have worked everything out, wham, 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 jam, 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 and it gets overdone, right? You see, with the wise ones is that they would simplify. Any field, any place, any time, the wise ones finally simplify, right? So I think at this point, why beautiful people don't you stand up? It's the way you think, where you don't bump into them. Okay. So I don't know exactly what we're going to do now.
But you got us to stand.
Yes, right. So if you all could just stand, I call this a warrior ready stance, because you're going to come into neutral, and then from a neutral position you can move any direction, any dimension, anytime. Right? But you need to come into neutral point first, says the great warriors of ancient times. Right? So neutral ready stance, this in acting I come back to again and again and again. Feet are parallel, straight under your hips, obviously, but directly underneath your hips. Right? Sometimes we think they're like really nice, straight hips, you know? Sometimes we think they're much smaller than they are. Okay, and hands on the side. And or you can gaze gently in front of you, or you can close your eyes, whatever feels most comfortable, or alternate between the both. If your eyes are open, then gaze gently and receptively at one point somewhere. This in Hindu yoga practice they call drishti, which would be a Sanskrit word. It's a gaze that is receptive, and it gazes outward and inward. Outward and inward, with a big focus on your inner being. Hands on the side. If you feel tendency that you, I want to hold on to myself, you know, then that's okay, but don't do it. Just notice. That is tendency not to, you have not yet settled into the body. Beautiful. And now, just follow your breath. If you can, breathe in and out through your nose. You may even hear your own breath or someone else's breath. If so, just feel how that calms. Breath has a calming effect on us. Any sound around and about, that just become part of your experience. Very good. Just continue to follow your breath. And in time you may notice that it becomes deeper. The most powerful breath is the so-called belly breath, right? So you move down so that your belly moves in and out. You may even feel the breath going into your back. That is where your energy will be most supported, most oxygen in your system, and your voice also will be the strongest. Okay? So look relaxed, and then connect to your thumbs. You may feel the tingling inside your hands. If you just bring your awareness to your thumbs. If your mind is going, if the monkey mind is chattering, that's okay. Just continue to focus on your breath. If you come into full awareness in the present moment, you slip into the moment, that monkey mind quiets down. Right? And then connect to the sole of your feet. Imagine if your feet could sort of like open up, and that you become receptive to the energy that comes from the earth, right? And I'm not going to paraphrase any of your fields of expertise, but in your own mind, you can of course go into the micro levels, as it were, of what's going on really between your feet, your shoes, and the floor. Okay. Lastly, maybe I want you to become aware of your heartbeat. Bring your awareness to your heart. And feel your own heartbeat. Beautiful, right? Feel your own heartbeat. Again, in many academics and scientists, deficiency of blood because overactive mind. Connecting to the heartbeat and the bloodstream anchors then the mind. In ancient Chinese medicine and philosophy, they say that the blood anchors the mind. Good. And now together take a deep breath. And let go. Take a deep breath. And let go. And take a deep breath. And let go. Now reach up to the sky. Reach up to the sky, come up on the tiptoes. And I want you to reach like even through your toes. If you never thought the toes could reach, they can now. And I want you to touch the ceiling. Like you almost does over there. Touch the ceiling, touch the ceiling, touch the ceiling. And then when you come down on your feet, then with the arms, bring them back as far back as you can. While you're connected to your breath, and you bring them down slowly. You may bump into your neighbor, but then just find out how you're going to negotiate this space. But slowly, you want to open up your whole chest. Open up, open up, open up, open up. Very good. Okay, shake it out, shake it out, shake it out. Okay, you can sit down. Okay, little things like that, if you don't already know, will help you greatly. It's wonderful for you. And there's many more exciting things that you could do also, as well as with visualizing things that will open up you for presentation. Anyway, I would like now a brave person to come up. Four. We are going to just, you're going to improvise. No, you're not going to act, you're just going to do an improvised a small presentation about something that has nothing to do with science. Nothing to do with science, perhaps. Yeah. And then we're just going to look a little bit at your presentation. Okay, so you're absolutely safe here. There's not going to be any judgments. Yeah. Are you going to do it?
Yeah.
And your name again is David. David. Excellent. Okay, so what I would like you to do is to pick a topic, any topic. This may be a topic that you know nothing about, Or you can choose something that you actually acting. Or you can choose something that you do know a lot about, such as a hobby of yours. What hobbies do you have? That's very cute. So, any topic, you can choose, or you can tell us about the vacation, anything. But I want you to teach us something. Okay? Something very simple, very, very simple. Thinking a tie on a bicycle. And I'm going to stand over here, and then I just want you to take this stage here and tell us.
Why don't you give me something specific?
Yes, I may. I can. When did you go to vacation last time?
20.
I'm not sure what vacation means to me.
You do travel extensively. Great. Tell me about one place that was quite impressive that you traveled to.
Stockholm.
Let's talk about Stockholm. Oh, he is. I had no idea. Oh, I wanted you to tell me about Stockholm. That is wonderful. Yes, tell us about Stockholm. Maybe tell us about that event, what happened. Did you see the king and the queen of Sweden?
Yes, I did.
Sylvia, isn't she a beautiful woman?
She's beautiful and her daughter's beautiful.
Right.
So I sat between them. So what would you like me to do?
Tell us about this dinner.
Well, the dinner in Stockholm is an incredible event. I'm sure you must have seen it on television, being Swedish. The Swedes, in fact, have a habit of watching the banquet. Families gather and watch it together, often eating the dinner that they prepared according to the menu of the previous year. The menu for the current year is a state secret, prepared by their 200 volunteer chefs. It goes on for about 5 hours. In between courses, there's entertainment in this incredible town hall, which looks like a plaza, an Italian plaza, but it's inside a building, so it's about 5 stories high, with an incredible staircase that goes up to the top. And that's where the laureates come down in this sort of royal procession. And they sit at a central table, about 100 or so people, and then there are 2,000 people seated around them. And they have hundreds of waiters who somehow miraculously present all the food simultaneously to these thousands of people. They're also all volunteers. The Swedish citizens volunteer to help in this incredible banquet. In between courses, there's entertainment on this marvelous staircase. Singers and dancers perform. And it goes on for about 5 hours, although it seemed to pass very quickly. So it's an amazing, magical experience.
Wonderful.
Then I had to give a 5-minute speech.
Wonderful, thank you. Oh, no. Oh, and I'm so I am so glad too that you shared this story. It makes my heart very warm. Yeah, it is something that is very special that they were proud of this week, this Nobel Prize and the dinners and all of it. You know, very, very special. So I've seen it many, many times in TV. When I came to Stockholm for the first time and I saw the building and wanted to say, you know, friends who, you know, if they get to volunteer, no one can just volunteer, but you have to be chosen volunteer. It's a big honor to do it, you know.
No, 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 it's very common.
So now David obviously is a very dynamic speaker, right? Were you always a dynamic speaker?
Yeah, probably. Right. But, you know, well, partly we also get training in teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you teach, you want to, as you say, you want to keep the audience or the students awake.
Right.
Sorry about
it. Yeah, great. Then you have a beautiful personality too that comes through. Now, that doesn't mean that the shy person doesn't have a beautiful personality, but it maybe doesn't always shine through so much. Right. Again, with a shy person, there's many things one can work with to let that seep through, because a powerful, dynamic personality carries a lot. Right. Take care of a lot of business.
It compensates for lack of understanding, so it really does, you know, because I get public lectures all over the world, and people come up and say, that was such a wonderful presentation, you're so passionate, I didn't understand the word. But, so I mean, I think it is important, this message, because passion as important as what you said.
Right.
But you convey that people enjoy it, mm-hmm. even if they really don't understand.
Yeah, absolutely. And also because we as human beings are, in our foundation, passionate beings. Most of us do not do powerful work if we're not passionate about it. Right? We care about passion. We care about people being passionate about what they do, even if we don't care about their work. Right? Like this famous example, you know, of the black sweeper, you know, outside some store in New Orleans or something, you know, 1800s, who makes the sweeping outside the store an art form. That is impressive, it is mastery to anyone who wants it. While some other dude who is just like, this sounds like a terrible job and I should be a great scientist instead, and here I am struggling away, picking up other people's dirt, right? All of a sudden there's no mastery, right? And you hold mastery, which is beautiful, you know, which comes through so clearly. His voice, very strong, also is supported deeply, right? So it vibrates. It sort of like vibrates the room. It holds the whole room. One thing is for actors that we speak a lot about is the quality of, and you can sit down if you want to, but you can stand there too. I just don't want to do it, you know, uncomfortable. And it's that with actors, we speak also a lot about the voice, because if the voice becomes too they're up here, or too like squeaky, or if it has something to hold it, if it's sort of like a rhythm to it, things like that, right? All of a sudden, it doesn't hold the entire room anymore, right? It becomes the portal, it's not dynamic anymore. Mm-hmm. This voice, if you can feel your own voice vibrating your body, that's a good sign. If your body vibrates, now, even now, if I would prepare my voice a little bit better, it would drop a little bit more. And I already feel the vibration now, but it would become even stronger. So if I stand on stage, for example, vital. What happens then is that these, now you would know more about the physics of this than I do, but that I vibrate my own body with my own voice. If I do that and I can feel it, chances are much greater that I also touch you with my voice, physically, on a physical level. You know? Some people who have developed their voice tremendously, there's a teacher, Catherine Fitzmaurice, who's developed these wonderful vocal exercises and things. And I met people who studied with her, and her voice is so powerful that when they lay down relaxing, they do all of these vocal exercises, and she gives direction. It's like they can feel her voice touching them, like physically touching them, right? That is how powerful her voice can become. Now, we don't expect that from you. That's not necessary, right? But it would support you very much if this voice would drop down and you would be able to hold the entire room, no matter how small or how big that room is. If that is even at the Nobel Prize dinner and you're holding the speech, how do you then take in thousands of people? Right? It's possible, it's simple, but you just need to know how to do it. Or you may just have a talent for it too, and you don't know what to do, you know.
I have a question. Mm-hmm. David is actually very good about controlling his hand movements. I'm not so much. I tend to play all over the place.
Uh-huh.
There's a way to address that.
Great. Beautiful. That was another thing, too, that was nice of him. He started, dear David, with which he pointed out himself.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was nervous.
Right? So all of a sudden now, there's nothing wrong to brace myself, but all of a sudden now I am closing myself up to you. You already know that our physical, what we transmit physically, speaks much louder than our words. If you have children, you know that for sure. Or you have a partner, you're married, you know, you come into the room, you know, if he or she, you know, is upset with you, they don't have to say one single word, right? Kind of silly, obvious examples, but nevertheless. So it starts out like this, he's making a barrier between you and him, right? Nervous, where this is going to lead me, things like that. Very soon though, because he's very good at this, he releases the arms. All of a sudden, energy connection becomes much stronger. It's also going to affect him that he's going to feel more calm, and he's going to be able to ride the wave of your energy. You know, and as you ride the wave of your energy, that is going to head back to you. You know, so it becomes a beautiful circle. Then you also.
I used to move around a lot too much. What?
I remember.
but I've seen a lot of films of myself, you know, and lecturing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very important.
Yeah.
So it's very hard to. So you're giving all that. What another important point is if you can see a picture of yourself, which at the KITP is not difficult. You give a lecture here, you're on the table. Although it is a bit staccato. Then you really learn a lot.
Yeah.
Because you don't always have an idea what you're doing with your hand.
Mm-hmm.
Flailing or
right.
Emphasizing.
Right.
So it really helps to see yourself.
Yeah.
Of course, actors see themselves all the time.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And then also for an actor, is that you would build the character's physical movement to such detail, right? So you become very aware of that. We don't build ourselves as a character in the same way, and we can arrange to do that kind of thing.
That's one way, but it's very hard to pick up on your bad habits without actually seeing it.
Yeah, absolutely.
We actually did this last week. We had these on, we videotaped people being interviewed, and Joe Kuczynski participated, and he had been interviewed for Nova's Elegant Universe, and he'd been cut down to like one line. And all he had to do was look at himself on camera for 2 minutes and say, oh, now I see why they cut me, because he looks down at the floor a lot and got into the camera.
Yeah.
And that apparently, you know, just that's all it took. Easy fix.
Yeah.
And, you know, David's right, they tape everything here, but also they do have a small handheld, so if you want to check yourself and really get serious about this, you can do that.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Yeah.
So I consciously learned to stop and wandering back and forth like a lion.
Right. Wonderful. And then he did with his movie, he was talking about the big stare, right? So his gestures then was well chosen. Now again, he's improvising this as he go along, so he knows he's already connected to it, right? But then all of a sudden it becomes very beautiful, it makes sense. He paints the pictures with his hands.
Yes, that works. That works when you talk of staircase and a big room, but when you talk about quarks, it's not.
This was actually a beautiful, beautiful example, because now we had more of very precise storytelling, right? It's telling a story that we can all relate to, that was in this physical, clear realm, you know, of with this sort of environment. But even when we speak about something abstract, if you have ever studied Shakespeare, he has this a lot, where he could bring, for example, two different arguments. It is either this way or that way. Or I think it is bad or it's good, you know? So that you can use your entire physical being, but then especially hands and eyes, absolutely key. Like eyes, because so much is transmitted, we connect so much through the eyes. Again, the passion is going to come through the eyes, the caring, if you care about the audience, all of these things, right? And then the hands. Now, some person may have a very colorful personality, maybe they're from Italy, and they speak a lot with their hands. That's wonderful, that's great, do it, right? Just be then, so it's controlled, so it's not all over the place and all of a sudden all you can see is his hands walking around, you know? And another person might be more conservative. That is beautiful too. Then maybe there's one or two times that they move their hands. And that too will create a beautiful choreography, as it were, of the human body. Again, to polish the portal. Is there anything else to point out? Oh, so that's what I said too, very beautifully, how he stood in one spot. Sometimes we see, oftentimes with inexperienced actors, the wandering, right? So the wandering is not like we spoke of before, the more choreographed, I'm going to cross over here now because it's time to speak to these people, right? That is one thing, again, to open up the space and to connect with everyone. However, the wandering is the nervous sort of thing. Also, what was I wanted to say? And I want to try to stand still here, you know. And it, you know, and it becomes like some kind of wandering dance, you know. And you will see the different people, if it's someone that freezes up from nervosity or starts to wander out of nervosity, right? Or unawareness. Then, to find then what is for your unique individual self, because this is not that you know, any of you, for example, needs to change because something's wrong with you. You're beautiful, you're wonderful, right? But how to find this balance that works for yourself to express who you genuinely are in connection to your work, right? When is it that it's appropriate to stand and just hold the space? Very important in the beginning of the presentation, for example. So that the audience can take in who you are, right? My name is so-and-so, I'm here to present blah, 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 nah, nah, nah. Okay? And you can hold this space for quite some time. Maybe we take you in, right? And then you will know, you will feel, you will start to become aware of when certain moves need to happen and when it's time again to come into stillness. That stillness too may be either when it is something very complex that needs to be transmitted, or it's time for the dramatic pause for people to start to digest what they're talking about. You know? So, I am not...
Where can I improve?
One would be, indeed, to, now this was just very short, if you would just look to polish this presentation of the Nobel Prize dinner, is to, the entire time you then stood still, that it would have been nice to have seen a little bit of your sort of three-dimensional being. Right? Which would have been placed beautifully when you spoke about the room, because the room would have been three-dimensional, you know? And you were seated here, and then when I went up to hold the speech, all of a sudden again it becomes like a performance. Yes.
It seemed to me when David first started to speak, correct me if I'm wrong, but it seemed like you became more comfortable by addressing her individually about Stockholm when you first started. Mm-hmm. And then I noticed that you became more inclusive with the rest of us.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's a useful technique, if you could just pick someone from the audience and always
pretend like...
A target?
Some plants. No, they're just people who seem attentive, and I think so. You get a feeling for those places.
Right.
It's that and whether they laugh at the jokes.
Right. I think that's excellent. And also for you who will present for your peers, or even if it's a big group, but your peers in there that you trust. It's also something that may start to develop or viewing that. Also, if you start to develop a language together of including presentations, your fellow friend is going to be very Although I at the same time would just caution a little bit to overview with a specific person, right? Because also what may happen is that the audience become a little bit jealous. So what about me? You know, he's just looking at him all the time. Well, of course, because he's a Nobel Prize laureate and I am not, you know. And then the little monkey mind, so to speak, and becomes upset. And then we have that these funny reactions because we're human beings. It's not that we sit in the audience, that the audience is always just rational and knows I'm just here to take in the information that the poor fellow here is going to present to me. And we have all of these human levels. One thing with presentation, which also the man who did the presentation on Tuesday morning, I thought was beautiful, was some of his images. It was quite humorous with the big boat. He had the image, the ones of you saw it. All of a sudden, a big, huge ship, like a carrier ship, that then translated into some kind of energy or whatever, you know. So he didn't really need it there, but he put this big ship in there, and it was delightful. Why? Because each one of us, and I'm not going to get all psychological on you, but each one of us have a little child within, right? The little childishness. What is that childishness within you? The stuff, the part of you that gets passionate. The part of you that, man, it's time to play, this is so exciting, oh my goodness, I have so many new ideas. It's a very powerful part of the human being to tap. Right? Because when that happens, people freak out. Right? So this little part in every human being loves, for example, big bones. How cool, right? So you can just think about that. How do I speak to these different levels? Then you know, too, that the folks in here are going to be oftentimes people who may know of this subject. Scientists, scholars that may also sit with a judgmental mind criticizing your work, right? Okay, that part too in the audience needs to be fed and taken care of, right? They need to be well prepared. It may be they're also going to be those, the fear side. They're all in this together. We're discovering stuff together. This is so cool, it's important, it's powerful. That too, the team spirit can be tapped. You become aware of these different levels and you can draw them in. It doesn't have to be overdone, doesn't have to be overstated. Just need a little touch, a little acknowledgement, and then the dynamic comes together. Thank you. I am not sure because there's so many things that could be done, but I feel that having not worked with the group before, that some of it is going to be too advanced.
Well, I'm willing to volunteer if you want to do some basic exercises, and I think maybe a couple other people might as well.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't we try at least one or two. Let's try that.
Okay.
And I think this is new territory for all of us, except for possibly David.
Yeah,
let us do,
yes.
I have a question.
Yes.
Because now we are talking mostly of the speaker.
Mm-hmm.
What happens is that very often nowadays a speaker has a presentation. and there's a clicker, and it shows the slides. And there is a competition between the slide and the speaker.
Mm-hmm.
Who will get attention? Sometimes the slides are so interesting that the speaker neglects the audience and reads these slides.
Right.
And so there is a complete game here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we are forgetting one of the players.
Mm-hmm. And you mean then with the images,
yes.
Of course, right. Yeah, I think that's a very good point, a very strong point. And that would be something more, I feel, that is, I mean, a few things could be addressed in more in an abstract way, but that becomes even more tangible with images here. What kind of images are they? Again, we've spoken before, how often do you move to the next image? If an image gets to stand there, sit there for a little while, one is immediately when it pops up, of course, all the attention is going to be drawn to the image. You already know that, that's a given, that's going to happen again and again and again. So that you have that time, that then maybe even to remove yourself slightly, I mean, it should be natural because you want them to see, but allow that space to happen. Right? Now, open time, what I've seen in some of the presentations here is the new slide comes up and the speaker comes here. Like, it's not necessary, because if you already know what is on your slide, you don't need to stare at it. They want to stare at it, but if I look at you, you look at the slide, all of a sudden now, you have a connection with me too. However, if I turn here, we only focus on the slide, you see? If you're here, you of course maybe need to point something out on the slide, you know, with that little red dot, you know? Is that you have much more control here over the audience, also knowing now it is time for me to step and to be at the forefront. That also might be a time when you want to come and be one of those when you just stand. Now, I am taking, I am upstaging in a sense my image now, and I'm demanding your attention.
Mm-hmm. But in a sense, it's not necessarily a competition, because
mm-hmm.
we can process two or three different channels, learning channels, they call them, at the same time.
Right.
So we can process visual data, audio data, and even, you know, feeling or sensory
right.
data at the same time. So it doesn't have to be a competition
mm-hmm.
between your slides and your...
Right. And I think when... There still needs to be a certain harmony and awareness. Oh, I have a slide up here, right? And I'm here to speak. And with that awareness, it can then very simply be tied together so that this is a competition, so that they feed each other these levels of information. Absolutely.
I think all of us, and me, certainly including me, are much, we tend to rely too much on these. You know, I've a few times heard Brian Greene be a public. Have you ever heard of him?
I know.
He's a very
He's taken some acting classes. He shows.
Yeah, an acting classes and voice lessons. But what I was impressed with most, and I promised to learn from that, but haven't really, was his use of slides or PowerPoint.
Mm.
He would show a presentation, one of these beautifully produced, he got it off of the normal thing, took a lot of that. And then he actually turns it off.
Mm.
And has a lot of, he's out there naked.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of us feel, since we spend a lot of time preparing these things, you do,
mm-hmm.
you do this, I mean, every all of us, and we might step in front or divert the attention to us, but he actually turned it off.
Mm-hmm.
There was alone on stage.
Right.
And explaining things and very well, which are complicated and abstract, and but without any aids,
mm-hmm.
much more powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a technique to really project. And
mm-hmm.
But just being alone,
mm-hmm.
Does focus the attention, challenges him to have to project.
Mm-hmm.
And I swore that I was going to do that.
Yeah. this is a reminder now for you.
Right.
Well,
I think the PowerPoint.
I really want the PowerPoint to, you know, not dominate, but just kind of feed into your presentation. Right. Most of us tend to put too much information.
Right.
And not to turn it off either. And that's something I just now rethink for you. I'll try next time I can look. There is, I think, a button you can push that makes the screen go black.
It does, yeah. It just one little click.
You don't have to reboot.
Right.
It's just a button.
Just makes it wrong, yeah.
Dark and you push it, it comes back on again.
We had a colloquium in, so I'm in Bonn, Germany. We had a colloquium by somebody who works on epilepsy, and he was talking to physicists, and he was using physical, you know, techniques and stuff. And his PowerPoint slides were completely overloaded and everything. And then for some reason, some embarrassment for us, this was early times of these machines, the machine failed. This was halfway through his talk. And he then had to step forward and then just talk freely. And he was brilliant. The last half hour, the first half hour was complete crap.
And so what was the shift? Can you detect the shift? What happened? I mean, well, of course...
Yeah, he was, in some sense, he was stuck to his slide. Mm-hmm. And then when he was standing in front, he was simplifying because he just had to say the absolute essence. And he was in his subject, of course, very well.
Yeah.
And he was then just presenting the simplest ideas, you know, to us.
Why we have
great.
These
great. Beautiful.
Well, he was forced to start thinking about what he was actually doing.
Right.
Yeah, he wasn't just giving you the
mechanistic stuff. That's
exactly
what I was saying.
He was actually forced to focus on what he was doing.
Yeah, because I get so many talks.
I have discovered not too long ago a new style of use of presentations. If you go to the website of Lawrence Lessig, who is a lawyer involved with intellectual property and the Creative Commons movement, he makes presentation with very simple slides and very few slides, but they use them in a very timely fashion with just one or two words. And it's done to insist on what he has to say, on the most important points. He has, in the whole presentation, he would have two or three images, maybe a little 5 seconds video clip, and a dozen slides with just one or two words, and this is very powerful.
That's simplifying again too, and you get down to the essentials, right? That's beautiful. One thing that I was thinking when you brought the, whoever, however this discussion started with the, with Brian Greene, right, is that I had image just before that, you started to speak of that, and that was maybe also to explore using black screens in, you know, in your PowerPoint presentation, right? That would work as well if you would feel nervous going clicking on your extra buttons and things, so you could just lay, and it would also be forced that all of a sudden here it comes, you can't choose, well, I think I'm not going to go and click on that little button and turn it off today, you know, that just becomes part of the rhythm of this PowerPoint presentation rhythm. Because I think that's excellent. Again, what we most care for is the human relation, not that stuff, truly. Basic level. And when you take past the basic level of human interactions, then again the material becomes much clearer, is my sense. Yeah, beautiful. Beautiful. So let us explore. And let me have, I'm feeling this out as we go along, and I sometimes say, moment, and then interview you to see what this would be the best next step. Let me have three people up here. Yeah! BC? In the name?
Kirby,
BC, and Jennifer. Okay. Now, what I would like you to do, okay, let me hear your voice first. Just say something, your name?
Kirby.
1, 2, 3 testing.
My name is Jennifer.
Okay, nice one. This one is going to need to work with a vocalization. Right? If they all had this, actually, let's just do that. Let's work on a vocal exercise. Right? So even if one had, or they did voice, the vocal exercises are still very beneficial and good, right? What's his name? Handsome man, Sean Connery. His voice, right? Oh dear. So he doesn't have that voice because his mom gave it to him at birth. That too, probably, but also because it's cultivated, right? It's powerful, you can't but listen to the man, right? So, close your eyes, hands on the side, and deep breath. Okay, very good. And you can look for a moment if you need to. And you can have your eyes open. Why I come back to close your eyes is just to come to the inward so that one take away the pressure from the outside a little bit, you know? So, put your hands in your belly. It's an organ test, an organ too. Right? Again, the belly breath. Very important. So what you want to do is that you get yourself a big, badass belly. So that you breathe and you move your hands. Very good. Great. Okay, excellent. Right? So we can let go. You want to continue to breathe down here, right? That's the breath that you want to have. Okay, relax your face. A few times, just chew, a big chew down, making audio. Big chew down. This is also good for your not having so much wrinkles. That's true. Just chew, a few times. And then, like a horse. Okay, and then now raising face. Big face, long smile. Ah, no smile. Very big, good, good, relax. Relax, very nice. This is always going to help you with articulation. Always. Mm-hmm. Now, just take a breath, and any sound when you release that comes out, just do that sound. So say that maybe it's a letter that comes out. Any that comes out. For all of you. And just do it a few times. It's just activate voice. Just repeat. Just repeat. Just breathe in and repeat. Doesn't matter how it sounds like. Just repeat and just continue. Just continue. Continue a few times. Okay. Is doing it there is on the spot, you know, because it isn't a performance really at this part, right? Now, all of you together, so let's do, you want the whole body to be relaxed, belly breath, and take a deep breath in through your nose. Okay, breathe in. Very good. I would like, okay, great. And I would like now, you just step, take a step back. We'll talk to you, Jennifer. You two are going to deliver a very short message on. didn't the chiropractor say that we need to start exercise?
Yes, I've been having some back problems.
Right. Let us talk about the back problems. Man, this is perfect, because also what I wanted you to do is that you're going to deliver this speech as a very old, fat-eyed woman.
That should be very easy. Okay. Mm-hmm. Back in my youth, I made the mistake of doing full contact jiu-jitsu.
All it? I don't believe you.
You don't believe I'm old?
No.
How do I feel older?
You are two times the age. What happens to the body when we I mean, some people can be like very powerful and dynamic all the way into old age, so this is not to say that one can, but this is not such a
thing.
Very fragile.
Yes, well, the slope is from all of those years that I spent getting tossed around and people trying to crack my neck and break it. And so now my neck cracks when I don't want it to. And over time, it just pulled everything forward and it gives me headaches and it hurts.
Good. Okay, now. Now this is already a strong, expressive woman. So you can already see here now this is not about acting. She doesn't have to be a believable old woman on stage. But I'm going to show you my point here in a little bit. But one thing that you can already see that even if she's trying now to make herself more fatter, her hands are strong, right? So she's going to work on in time how she expresses herself through her hands, because you already have beautiful, graceful but strong hands. This is an asset. Right? So she just needs to sort of become aware of it. But we can already see that now happening. Same thing with the quality of your voice, not with the vocal exercise. It is not, I don't know if you have time to hear it, but when she started earlier, it was very high-pitched. Already now it has become rounder. Mm-hmm. Now it has fallen down. Now I would like you to speak of the same thing, but you are a powerful athlete, and you just won the Olympics.
It was difficult. And I persevered. And I fell face down my opponent, and I punched him, and I threw him to the ground, and I choked him out in record time, and I won the Olympics. And now I need to go to the chiropractor, because in the process, I threw my back out.
Okay, wonderful. My point is proven, okay? She now was playing with two different images, right? Very two different, clearly distinct images. One of a fatter old woman, right? Everything becomes hidden, withdrawn back, right? Now, this can be translated not into a fat old woman with a half broken back, but into a person, a young woman, a young man, any age, doesn't matter, but who's just, if you can see my shoulders, that is a little bit withdrawn, right? A little bit held back, a little bit shy. Feel a little bit threatened by this audience and how you want to judge this hard work that I put out, right? Now it may even be less than this. There's an inner kind of sense of that. If you can identify what is going on within you, you then have a base point, a baseline, a reference point to then shift it. Each one of you, no matter who you are, even dated at times, are going to have a face within himself that shows up that is not his most powerful and most dynamic, right? If you can identify that, you have the reference point, and you can then counterbalance it with something else that is going to be much more dynamic. Now we use the athlete of this great victorious battle, right? All of a sudden, you can see where she's out here. From being down here, wham, naturally, without even thinking about it, she's improvising. Bam, and I did this, and then here I was, wham, wham, wham. She's all of a sudden taking, she owns and holds the space, right? So this is a way that we can always work. I have a friend of mine who I have had, he's a businessman and a scientist, and whom I have coached for many years. At one point we developed, have you seen outside Wall Street in New York? They had like this big bull.
Yeah.
We were playing around with this big bull. He now uses this image when he's in a very cutthroat situations, business meetings that are just brutal, right? And where he before would be threatened, you know. So, you know what I mean? And he's a very short man, you know. And he just brings this image up now. Bam. And it's not that he, no. It just becomes a psychological image. We use it in acting all the time. And Marlon Brando in Godfather studied, you can do this with animals, you can use any energy that you like, flowers, trees, anything. Marlon Brando used gorillas in Godfather. He studied gorillas. So you see a moment when he's sitting by the big, he needs to transform, right? He needs to become the Godfather. Now, you need not to become the Godfather in a presentation. However, you may need to get a little bit more aggression into your system. Not to be mean to people, but to take the space.
They
have those scratchy. Yeah, and yes, there's one beautiful moment that I'm sure you remember. He's sitting at this long, big table there with all other mafia guys. And he's at the short end and he's sentencing someone to death or something, probably, right? He gets really angry and he has the table here, so just imagine the surface of the table. So he's sitting down, right? It's big. And he gets really angry and says, bam! He does like this, bam! He hits like this. It's gorilla talk. Like, he doesn't do like this, he doesn't do like that, he doesn't do like that. Bam! Open palm, boom, like this. I guess we like talk. So you can use, again, we use this all the time in acting. It's like a second language. But you can use it to translate it in a more moderate way. Again, if you know that you have a certain problem with a certain audience, you bring something like that up, you bring an athlete up that just had a big victory, and it's going to affect you like it did always. Thank you.
Any
would work, really. It depends, again, it's
a hawk.
I don't think it is about those tools wouldn't necessarily be so much about what you're talking about necessarily, right? But how you are as a person, where you're at as a human being. And how you can shift that. So with my friend again, small framed man, much smaller than all of these powerful business people that he's working with. For a woman it might be very similar too, you know, that an imposing physique is an imposing physique. There is no way around it. It is very violent, it's very direct, it's very powerful, right? So with him, he brings on this bull, all of a sudden his energy field changes. The way you look at people changes. You know, everything shifts in him. Yeah, it works very well. Yeah. Oh, did you want to say something? No. Okay, BC. Wait, so Let us do a similar with you.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And that is that you would do, you are married, I see.
That's true.
You are. Okay. So why don't you tell us, would you be comfortable telling us about your wife? About your wedding? Or did you propose to her?
No, I can tell you some things about our wedding, because it was all...
Wait.
It was all completely above board, but the whole experience was somewhat fraught in a number of respects, because we were living in the Bay Area at the time, and we knew we wanted to get married, but we rapidly discovered that as soon as you announce that you are about to get married, you set in motion a whole chain of events over which you have no control whatsoever. And people who formerly were quite pleasant and sane suddenly start behaving like lunatics. For example, my mother-in-law, who up until this point had, sort of been a perfectly reasonable, easygoing person, decided that, the wedding is going to happen, and so she had to take charge, and various things had to be done in particular ways. And the first thing that we had to do was sort out where we were going to get married. So she took us around to various places in the Bay Area, and we didn't really like any of them, and, things were getting a bit fraught. And at a certain point, we decided, okay, we need to just get away from here. We need to just go away on holiday. And so we took, there's a place up in the Sierra foothills, near a town called Murphy's. It's in Calaveras County. There's a short story by Mark Twain about this called The Jumping Bulldogs of Calaveras County. And there's a very nice sort of inn there, the bed and breakfast. It's called the Lodge at Manuel Mill. And it's incredibly picturesque. And it's sort of, it was on a lane, sort of lodge with half a dozen rooms, that kind of thing. And so we went there just to, just to relax. And at a certain point we said, well, wouldn't it be wonderful if we got married here? This is 3 hours away from the Bay Area by car. I mean, it was clear this was not going to fit well in certain quarters. Splendid, great idea. So we went back to the Bay Area and we told my in-laws about this. And exactly as we suspected, my mother-in-law was sort of rather upset, and her reaction was, oh my God, none of my friends will come, how can you do this, etc., etc. So she was really very unhappy. And she thought, okay, I suppose she did want us to sort of have what we wanted, so she agreed in the end. And we sent out all these invitations. And here's the astonishing thing that happened. I mean, I think normally when you send out wedding invitations, you expect, maybe half to 60% of people to respond and say they're coming. I mean, you send out a lot of invitations just to be polite and that sort of thing. In this case, we sent out all these invitations. Clearly, people decided that they were going to just view this as an excuse to spend, a pleasant weekend in the country. It was a complete shock. So we had, about 150 people. And there were a couple of people whom we had no idea as to who they were. And they sort of appeared, really. And it all worked out in the end. So there was one thing that I forgot, and that is that in between sort of the wedding itself and our sort of having decided to hold the wedding at this place, for some reason we went up there and we discovered that the dam to this lake had sort of what had previously been, a very nice lake had been converted into this mud flat, really, that looked completely awful. And there was a lot of pouring oil that took place then. But eventually it rained, lake came back, feelings were restored, and sort of wedding took place.
Thank you. Now I'm going to say that I got so carried away with the story, so what I was going to do with him, I didn't want to interrupt because it was such a lovely story. This one also proves the beauty of humor, right? To bring that in, or you can make a whole presentation just filled with humor, then maybe the point will be missed, what you really want to say. But it's good, a little bit of humor. Some of us don't tell jokes all the time, right? If you have a good joke teller, then one can always find an appropriate joke, right? But sometimes it's just the atmosphere, a humorous, delightful atmosphere that also translates very well. So excellent. I just come over here. It's not behind this one. So there's just one thing that I would like to point out for you to think about. But then, oh, it's talk already.
We can go a couple minutes over.
Yeah. Then I had one. And then I will do this other thing with you. I want to repeat what with animals, other images, just so that you can see it with two different people. With you, the only thing I want to point out is this is a lovely story, Paul, but it's just that one is that you also can see your hand. Right? See, also very similar, graceful but strong hands. Right? It's not really to look at your hands like, oh my goodness, they're too small, you know? again, you're perfect as you are. It's just to sort of see these things about yourself. His beautiful hands, and then at times, can you see, almost like a dancer, he would be like this, right? You can continue to work and just become aware of your hands. You know, you take a shower and you have the warm water coming down and you have nothing else to do, you know? You can just, you know, play with them, you know. You're standing waiting for your wife to get ready, you're going to dinner, right? And she takes too long time. You're getting irritated. You can just move your hands around a little bit, right?
Stop
pounding the table. For example, that would be a good thing. So that, and this goes for all of you, so that they can become more and more fluid. Again, so the energy can come through your hands. Eyes and hands, eyes and hands. How does the energy travel? Now, at times, if you sit down here beside Cynthia, I want to show you something. At times, you do here. With your movements with your hands here. Now, you just have your hands and your eyes and face is obstructed, yeah. Right? And you don't want that because you want both. So just become aware, now you have a pattern being up here, so you wouldn't want to come back here again and again and again because you have put yourself on that, you know, pattern, right? But to keep working with that so that they can come from the heart. That also tells the audience subconsciously, I'm coming from the heart. We all want you to come from the heart, to be genuine, so we can connect with your heart. And so that you just bring them down to this area. Okay. And if they need to come up, then it's still never from the air.
Right.
Great. Good. Okay. I want to check out your arms and your legs. Keep them out. You've never seen them like this. Very good. Okay. Here we go. Now, you two are going to tell a story or teach us something, but you don't have to worry about that now. The first time when you do it, So now this one that I said, I just want you to, in your imagination, your mind's out. Okay, how does it look like? You know. It's okay, this is not rational.
Yeah, I have to think of two things. What I'm going to say.
You don't have to worry about it. You can trust me. I'm with you. So one is just that feature, how it looks like. And it doesn't really matter if you're exactly the sudden and closely, you know. But how you imagine them to sort of behave and how they look like. Eyes and mouth, you know, the mouth. Their rhythm. Right? How they interact with the world. Okay? Now, do you teach here?
No, I'm just visiting.
You're visiting here. Do you research work where?
In Bonn, Germany.
Oh, you're in Bonn, Germany. Okay. So,
south of Sweden.
How long have you been in the institution where you're at?
8 years.
8 years, okay. I would like you to just shortly, in just a few, like a minute, tell us how you got to that institution. Like what brought you there? Any aspect of that part of your life story? With that creature in mind. So it's not you really telling the story, but it's that creature telling the story.
Okay, so I was a researcher in England.
Great.
And I was in the theory group of the Rutherford Lab, and the Rutherford Lab decided to close down the theory group, so I had to leave. And they offered me a job somewhere else in England, but the salary was lower. And so
Shift your voice.
So I went to Germany. There was an opening in Bonn, and for some reason they took me.
Okay. Can you see? There's something going on in him, right? There's something going on in his inner life, in his inner being, right? Exactly. This is how it works in you. If you have a bad day, you fought with your partner, and you're afraid that you're going to lose your job today, you know? Everything, you know, you don't know if your new research paper is going to be published or not, you know, whatever it is, right? Or you want to get the funding that you need, right? And then you have this thought that is so important and vital, and there you go. Then you have a little mouse inside. For example, right? You have a little mouse inside, you know? Right? And he didn't want to see, right? And what he did here is not unusual to see, right? Now he didn't overact either, so it was excellent, but still a certain realm of quite realistic, right? Then stuck, not in the good being in one's, holding one's space, holding the space and being still for a moment, right? But it's stuck, frozen, paralyzed, right? Terrified, and the eye. Difficult intake, having eye contact. Why? Because you scare me. Mm-hmm. Right? You see this again and again. You know it yourself too when you start to have those feelings. Mm-hmm. Great. Now let us hear the same. And
you're getting kicks out of it.
Like the stronger. So now first.
We have to guess.
Oh. Okay. So now, right? So now first, and again, if you can use the elevator, if you need to summon up an image, right? So, you get stand, ready, stand. Okay, take somewhere, both close your eyes. And then take a breath to your nose, activate it in the rear, into your belly. Mm-hmm. And then, that's out there, I want you to see this one. Just imagine the creature.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I'm
cool now. So we're the same distance. Just imagine, and again, doesn't matter how closely or not you've studied this one before, it's just about your own imagination that matters, really. It's beauty and magnificence, impressiveness, grace, power. The territory. Okay. So now with this one, it's going to tell the same story how you got the job. But it's not you speaking, it's this one speaking. That's the label it and have fun with it.
So I used to work in England. And it was, you know, just outside of Oxford in the Rutherford Lab, and it was a pretty good job, but I wanted to go somewhere else. I wanted to get a better job, and I saw they had an opening in Bonn, Germany, and I went for it, and of course I got it.
I think we have an actor here. This is gracias, wonderful. Okay, all of a sudden, what is your shift? What did you see in him?
Arrogance,
right. So confidence, but more arrogance too, right? Absolutely, absolutely. Certain sense of pride. Lion indeed, right? So again, they can become like a recipe. I need this anecdote today, you know? Now, the arrogance that came, of course, that part is not becoming, right? That of course I got it, right? You are becoming, I'm not doing this, you know? So then that becomes, it moves into the negative, but just before that, it's excellent, right? Or be confident, right? All of a sudden, we become confident because you're already held by a confident man, you see? Now, many of the days, you may not need extra confidence because you're already rested within, right? But then, this one day when you don't know yet if you're going to get the funding or not, maybe you need a little bit extra dose of it, you know? And you just play, you can just, again, the child's mind of yours, which you still have, is to play with this, you know? Just simple tools and to play with and activate, you know? Because they work, they do really work.
So thank you. Okay, so I think this is it for today.
Yeah, we're out of time, but can we please thank Atuliana?
It was great. You have to find the right animals. So you have a few,
that's right.